Here's to Your Health, a contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, here's to your health.
Welcome to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and today we're really excited to bring Dr. Michael Versakis to you to talk about our eye health. Dr. Versakis was born in Iowa, and he graduated from the University of Iowa College of Medicine. He did his ophthalmology residency at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, and he also is certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. So I want to welcome you, Dr. Versakis. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
You know, we always think about so many of the other things involved with our health, and I think that it's very easy to take our eye health for granted. So I thought we'd really highlight maybe starting in childhood that as a physician, what you see as being important. And, you know, for example, when should parents first have their children's eyes examined?
Well, for example, I had a patient not long ago with a strong family history of an eye disease where I examined the child at 6 hours of age for a cataract, and he was and found that they had one, and the child was down in Iowa City another day or two later. So that there are certain things where if they see them, they fix them right now.
And that's more rare, that a rare occurrence.
Very rare.
Right.
Very rare. But if you see something, like at the airport when they say, if you see something, say something. So that the same applies to children because they don't know.
Right.
So the average child somewhere in the 3 to 4, certainly by 5-year-old range, you'd want them checked. That way they are young enough that if you did find a lazy eye or a high prescription, you've got some time to work with it. You haven't burdened them with not seeing properly.
Right.
And yet they can cooperate a little. We can certainly do it younger, and we do. There are indirect means of determining glasses in a 2-year-old who obviously can't tell you which is better, one choice lens or the other choice.
Right. And I'm thinking of children when they start school that maybe parents would observe that they're not understanding material they're reading, or, you know, what would be some of the red flags to a mom or dad?
We've had children with behavior problems. I recall the child of a friend who was just a little monster, and we brought him in and checked him, and he had a very high prescription. So this little kid wasn't seeing anything that was going on, and as such was acting up because he wasn't part of the discussion. We got him glasses, and he became an angel.
Amazing.
They don't all work out that good. But,
right.
Yeah. So
The other question I have is that sports are starting earlier and earlier, too. So we have, like, children starting 4 or 5 years old that are playing soccer or maybe other sports. And I'm wondering, what about the eyes? Do we need to do more to protect the eyes?
Well, certainly there are some sports that are more so than others. If you're going to be playing soccer where you head the ball, you want a pair of probably sports goggles, or my granddaughter started contacts at 9 just because glasses were enough of a hassle that it was worth getting them out of the way. There are disposable contacts that some very young children can manage to handle themselves. Other sports that... Anytime if you're shooting a gun, you want to have safety lenses on. If you're playing basketball, there's certainly a case to be made for having some protective lenses on if you're going to wear glasses. Many of these sports, people have shifted to contacts just because they're so much more convenient. They don't get in the way, but You know, if somebody's throwing the elbows in a basketball game and you've got safety glasses on, that's one injury you're probably not going to have.
Right, right. You know, that makes me think as we get into the teen years and people are a little more self-conscious about how they look, I wanted to visit, contact lens are certainly available, but, recently we've heard a lot, too, about the LASIK surgery, right?
Yes, and that works great, but probably you would want to at least have them out of high school. You'd probably be very late teens or early 20s. The eyes change a little bit. If you wait on LASIK until it's too late, then some of the benefits are gone, in the sense that if you wait till you're 45, you're still going to need reading glasses, even if they make your distance vision perfect, because LASIK doesn't fix that. So there is merit in doing it early, but you want to do it late enough that the eyes are likely not going to be changing too much, because the LASIK will not prevent future changes from happening.
Okay.
All it does is, in effect, sets your vision pretty much back to zero at that point, and then any future changes happen. And some people, even need a redo later if their vision has progressed some. And depending upon the details, that may be possible. The LASIK, in effect, burns away a layer of the cornea, so you've got to have enough tissue to do it.
So is it more effective with nearsighted vision versus farsighted vision?
Yes, much more. Okay. Much more effective. There is a farsighted LASIK, but it's less commonly used, and it's a little tougher to do. The most common ones are the ones who without their glasses, can probably not see their outstretched finger and couldn't drive a car to save their life. The folks that are farsighted, and certainly there are some very farsighted folks, but it doesn't work quite as well on the far as the nearsighted.
Okay. Well, going back to injuries, I'm thinking, how does one tell if they have a detached retina?
Well, the symptoms of a detached retina are several. Oftentimes, there would have been something injury-wise. You would have been hit in the eye, so you're tipped off right off the bat.
Okay.
Typically, for example, one injury that would be common would be a tennis ball or a handball. Now, if you're playing handball, you're confined and you ought to have glasses on. A lot of people don't wear glasses for tennis, and yet those balls are moving fast, and if they hit you in the eye, that can be a problem.
Okay.
But the symptoms would be blurred vision, flashing lights, little, I don't know whether you've ever seen stars. Have you bumped your head or maybe stood up too fast? So you see little sparkly lights in the vision, only these are persistent. An increase of floaters, and the final thing is a curtain, in effect, coming across the vision. Typically, retinas detach in the top part, and the symptoms show up in the bottom part of vision. So people will say, there's something in, as I look straight ahead, I see something in the lower field of my vision that seems to not, I've kind of lost some vision in the in that area.
So just kind of like a curtain covering
Yes.
that part of the vision, right?
It is, exactly.
Interesting.
A man called me not long ago who was describing this, and he said, can I see it tomorrow morning? And I said, I tell you what, let me see it tonight. It was Sunday night. I said, no, let's not wait till Monday morning. It sounds like your symptoms, and in fact, he did have one, are bad enough. Let's get this process going now.
So what happens then you have to reattach that? Is that
Yes.
the procedure?
The retina is a thin membrane that is on the inside of the eye, and it's the actual nerves that you see with.
Okay.
And if the retina is detached too long, the nerves die off because the nutritional supply is gone, because they get some of that from the outer layers of the eye. So they do two things. Sometimes they inject a gas on the inside of the eye to push the retina out against the outer wall, and sometimes they put a plastic device called a buckle, kind of like your pants. They wrap it around the white part of the eye and cinch it up a bit to bring the white part of the eye in towards the retina. So, and sometimes they do both.
And how long does it take then to heal? Is it quite successful that way?
The batting average is about 95% of what we call anatomic success. That is, the retina is reattached.
Okay.
Depending upon the details of the surgery and the injury in the first place, how long it's been detached, how extensive, there may have been some nerve damage. So although the retina is reattached, everything still doesn't work as well.
So
sooner is better rather than later.
So it's really more of an eye emergency that you should go in if you're hit in the eye to be sure.
Yes. Now,
right?
Most of the time, it can wait until the morning.
Okay.
So that retina surgeons don't operate in the middle of the night because this is very technically difficult stuff.
Right.
And you don't want to operate with the orthopedic surgery nurses. You want your own people there.
Right.
And so, fortunately, 24 hours is permitted. That doesn't materially decrease it, but there's a lot to do. You got to get into your regular doctor, who then sends you to a retina specialist, who then would have to get the operating room. So certainly, if you're pretty sure that you've got a problem, next morning at the latest, you should be making the call.
Okay, and I just want to remind our listeners that we're visiting today about eye health with Dr. Michael Versakis, MD, and he is a graduate of the University of Iowa College of Medicine. Another area that is always interesting to visit about is when they check for glaucoma. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what glaucoma is?
Yes, glaucoma is high pressure that causes damage to the nerves in the eye. Most people who have glaucoma who aren't being checked have no symptoms. The symptoms only come on very late, so that much like high blood pressure, you don't want to find out that you have it by having a stroke. So that you want to get your eyes checked. If you have high blood pressure, particularly if it's, for example, or high eye pressure, if it's in the family, then that increases your risk because we are, of course, our parents' children.
So it's more genetically inherited?
The risk goes up
okay.
if you have it in your family. There is still a risk in the general population, but if your mother or if both parents had it, then that obviously increases it.
And that's when they put that little puff of air, right, into your
Well,
eye,
we don't do that much anymore.
Okay.
They now have... that was used in an age when some doctors were not authorized to use medicine, so that that was a so-called non-contact tonometer. Most of us now put in eye drops, and a little device touches the front of the eye. It's much the same way that when you push on a basketball with your thumb to assess whether it needs air, only this device presses very gently, and then it's calibrated so that you can read it off. They also even have a little pencil that will just touch the front of the eye, a so-called tono pen.
And that measures the pressure then in the eye?
The pressure on the inside of the eye, which is not related to the blood pressure. This is the eye pressure.
The eye pressure. Okay,
yeah.
On the inside.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And if that's high, then we look for damage.
Okay.
So just like speeding on the freeway is pretty common.
Okay.
It's reckless driving they're looking for more. If you're doing 70 on the freeway, they don't give you too much trouble. But if you're weaving in and out of traffic, they do. Same way here. If we see evidence of damage and the pressure is high, we treat it. If we see evidence of damage and the pressure is okay, we treat it anyway because we figure it's there. We just haven't been able to catch it.
Okay. The other question I'm thinking of that we often hear of how diabetes can lead to serious eye problems. And in your practice, is that still the case? Or are we doing a lot better preventatively with diabetic care?
Well, we are doing better.
Okay.
Having said that, there's still a lot that we could do to make it even more improved. Diabetes, as you know, pretty much increases the risk of everything bad.
Right.
Anything you don't want, you're more likely to get if you're diabetic. So optimum diabetic control is great. The so-called hemoglobin A1C, that 3-month blood test, is probably the prime way of assessing that. If you can get that in the sixes or even a smidge lower, that's wonderful. And the folks that run very high in the 8, 9, 10 and beyond range, that's definitely a risk factor. You're at greater risk for cataracts, you're at greater risk for glaucoma, you're at greater risk for so-called diabetic retinopathy, where the nerves themselves are damaged. And so every diabetic needs to be checked every year with a dilated exam to assess for damage, because the eye is really the canary in the coal mine, in the sense that it's the only place where we can look at blood vessels and nerves directly.
Right.
Every place else, there's skin.
Right, right. And that gives you good observation to be able to determine.
So if I see diabetic damage in the eye, there's a good chance that maybe it's in the kidney, maybe there's some risk for a stroke, maybe there's some heart issues. Certainly not always, but, you know, the blood vessels, are they're the same pretty much all over.
Yeah, and it's a good indicator. Say, you mentioned cataracts, and that just segues us to be able to talk about that. I was just reading recently that it's very rare, but more common from 40 years plus. Is that your understanding, or what are you seeing?
Certainly, you can be born with cataracts. You can get them from injuries at any age, but more commonly 60 plus.
60 plus?
So my mother had her cataracts taken out at 55, my dad at 81, that would be a good range, but 65 to 75 would be a more common range. And as a matter of fact, I had my own cataracts taken out at age 65. The results are wonderful most of the time.
Okay. So can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what are cataracts? What happens in that?
The cataract is the natural lens of the eye that focuses the light rays on the back of the eye. That lens is clear when you're born. If that lens is not quite the right power, then you need glasses to straighten it out. Sometimes when your mother's baking you in the early days, she doesn't get that power quite right. So when the cataract grows, that is, the lens becomes cloudy enough that normal activities such as reading and driving, particularly driving at night, is oftentimes an initial complaint, become difficult, then surgery is done. And everybody, it's like the other elective surgeries, hip replacement and knee replacement. They won't kill you, but if you're suffering, there's no reason to wait. The batting average is pretty good.
And so this can improve your actual vision when you're actually replacing that lens. Is that what's happening?
That's exactly what you're doing. That lens that your mother put in there has become cloudy. You take it out and you put in a special plastic lens that is designed to correct your vision, and the surgeon can measure that more accurately than your mother did. So if you had thick glasses before, he can fix that.
Perfect.
They even have bifocal implants now.
Oh, my. Are you seeing any problems with the bifocal implant?
Well, it's a very complicated lens, and it doesn't work in everybody. If, for example, you have too much astigmatism, which is a measure of the shape of the eye, they can't always correct the astigmatism and bifocals at the same time, and it costs extra because the insurance companies don't pay for it. That is viewed as not essential. It's more in line in the insurance company's view as cosmetic, because they don't think wearing glasses is a terrible problem, but a lot of people do.
Yeah. Well, and especially I would think as we age, our skin gets a little more sensitive around the nose. That I just am thinking of my own mother and just the deep indents it left. And sometimes those were sore.
If they fit them right, that doesn't happen.
Okay, good to know.
So that, 'cause my glasses weigh just like a feather on my nose.
Okay.
So they have ways of doing that. If you've got big dents in your nose, maybe you did something wrong.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And they're having more lightweight lenses, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I like mine because mine change from light to dark when I go outside. They don't change inside, and they don't change in the car, so they don't eliminate the need for sunglasses. But they also have a sunblocker, so they protect you from the harmful rays of the sun, just like the sun is. I mean, we want photosynthesis. We need to grow plants, but you don't want too much of it on your skin, so you wear a sunscreen.
Right.
You want a sun blocker in your glasses to protect against sun damage, because that accelerates cataracts and glaucoma, among other things.
Oh, that's very interesting to hear.
Yeah, so that the glasses are very protective. You know, and safety glasses when you're doing things that are dangerous are great, and sunglasses for the rest of the people who go outside. And they're lightweight, they're attractive. We can put prescriptions in them so that they're very functional. And so I would encourage your listeners to wear sunglasses. You'll look cool, and you'll be helping yourself.
Right. I know that even when I had my children as little children, I would put little sunglasses on them just to protect their eyes if they were riding in the back seat and the sun was coming in.
Well, if you're in the car, you're probably okay because the windows will block the rays that would damage you. And we know that because my transition lenses and my glasses won't change.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But if the windows are open, then that would apply.
That would be different. Or if you're riding in a convertible, right?
Absolutely.
So the next question I have, we just have a lot of questions, but macular degeneration, is this inherited? Or I've heard a lot more about macular degeneration.
Macular degeneration is partly inherited. Partly, I used to refer to it as hardening of the arteries in the eye. It can be just a degenerative condition that occurs as the result of aging. As we get older, we don't hear as well. We don't see as well. I think there might be something about your memory, but I forget what that is. So that minor eye doctor humor. So
right.
But you can also get it from injuries. It's more common in diabetes.
Oh, interesting.
There are certain drugs that can cause damage in the area. So mostly it's just normal aging.
Okay.
But these other things occasionally apply. There are certain patients that come to us on a regular basis because they take medicines for rheumatoid arthritis or some infections or some other issues where they're known to be toxic to the eye. So we check them at intervals to make sure that if they're having this, then we stop the medicine.
Okay. And then on the same note, what is a macular hole?
A macular hole is a variation on macular degeneration. It's not true macular degeneration, but this is it is idiopathic, which is doctor speak for we don't know why you get it.
Okay.
It's much more common in older folks, very uncommon in young people.
Okay.
And basically the nerves in the center of the macula, which is the sharpest part of the vision, just kind of go away. And so you can't see. And when you look at someone in the face, you can see the whole room around them, but their face may disappear depending upon the extent. These things come in degrees. So there are some people who have a macular hole that we can measure on one of our testing devices, but they're really not having much trouble. And the other extreme being somebody who is legally blind with it. It goes the whole gamut.
So if somebody all of a sudden was looking in a room full of people and they noticed that there was a section that was missing, that would be a good indication that they should get their eyes checked.
I would say so.
Okay.
Absolutely. Most of the folks just think they need glasses. Because that's the way the public functions. Most people think if I'm not seeing properly, it's glasses. And fortunately, most of the time, that's what it is. But there are these other medical issues that can arise. As you get older, just like I think you ought to take your car in once a year to get it checked. Personally, I recommend as you get older, certainly over 50, and I would do it even over 40, a yearly checkup on your eyes. We can tune up your glasses. We can get you computer glasses. There's a variety of things, sunglasses. We can make your life better and make sure that nothing serious is developing. Usually there aren't awful illnesses. Most people are fine, but you have to go through all the people to find out. I was on the airplane yesterday, and I don't think the man thought I was a terrorist, but he still went through my stuff. So.
Right. See, yeah. Also, double vision. What happens in double vision?
Well, double vision can be from several things. It can be as the result of a nerve not working, so that maybe the eye doesn't move in a certain direction, and you only see double when you look the direction where that nerve should work. So that would be common in strokes. So you see it sometimes with diabetes. You also see what we call a decompensation, where the nerves that keep the eyes single, because there's an area in the brain that fuses the images from the right and the left eye, because your brain doesn't like to see double. It makes it very upset. It wants to know which car is coming at it on the highway.
Right.
And sometimes it's from fatigue, hence the statement, I was so tired I couldn't see straight. Sometimes it's just a weakness that develops in your nerves over time, and we need to put a little gizmo in the glasses called prism to just kind of realign it, just as if your car is pulling to the right or the left as you drive. They'll realign your front end, and then the car will run better.
I just really am so happy you could join us today, because eye health is so important at any age, as we've discovered, and I just think that we're just really happy that we could bring you to our listeners, Dr. Versakis. Thank you so much for joining us today on Here's to Your Health, and we hope that you'll come back and join us again.
I would love to do it. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And please listen to us again next Wednesday on Here's to Your Health. Thank you. I'm Dr. Carla.
Here's to Your Health. A contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Now, live your life for God, and here's to your health.